fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue today to talk about the passage from Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham and faith and trusting in God, which are great themes for the season of Lent. Really, Lent is all about helping us become more trusting in God. The whole point of Lent is to help both purify our minds, our hearts, so that we can surrender ourselves more fully to God and to walk in deeper communion with God. I mean, that's the heart of the Father. That's God's desire. God wants you to be close to Him. God wants you to know His love. God wants you to be able to hear and internalize His promises and understand that His promises given to us in Jesus are for you and for me, that they're very personal, that each and every man and woman who God has created, He loves and He's pursuing and He's desiring. And one of the things that Lent helps us do is it helps make us a bit more vigilant to help us fight the spiritual battle that's important for us to fight so that we can see and hear what the Father actually has in store for us. And we can learn to trust Him, because the enemies that we battle against, the world, the flesh, and the devil, are at work constantly trying to distract us, trying to knock us off track, trying to get us to mistrust and to doubt God. So we're in a real conflict. So it requires a real vigilance and a decision of our will and our mind to be able to be surrendered to the grace of the Holy Spirit, who wants to conform us to God's plan and purpose given to us in Christ, and to internalize not just a plan, but to really see the person of God, to see that God is our Father. And really, it's the heart of what Jesus came to reveal to us. Jesus said, to see me is to see the Father. And ultimately, Jesus on the cross demonstrated complete, unconditional love and mercy. And He's saying, from that cross, He's saying, look at me. This is the love of the Father. It's unconditional, it's merciful, it's worthy of your absolute trust. So the story of Abraham, which I touched on yesterday, it was given in the first reading yesterday as we were celebrating the solemnity of St. Joseph, who also had to trust God pretty radically when Mary, the woman he was about to marry, conceived a child. And can you imagine how much that confounded his mind? And at the end of yesterday's program, saying that both in the case of Abraham and the case of Joseph, God's action was confounding. It was confusing. It was very difficult to process and to understand. God's promise to Abraham that he would be a father of many nations was a bit confounding to Abraham, I imagine, because when the word from God came to Abraham, when God was going to establish a people to really begin in a profound way the unfolding of God's economy in the plan of salvation, He was going to form a people that would belong to Him, that would be a holy people that are set apart, that would be completely identified with Him, and whose hearts would be set on Him and the fulfillment of His commandments, and shaping a people that would be a sign for the whole world to begin to reveal God and God's nature more fully, and who God is in the world. And from that people would ultimately come the Messiah, who would be God's own Son, would come to save us and to redeem us. But God begins with Abraham, and He said, you'll be the father of a great nation, but Abraham was almost 100 years old. So yesterday, I touched on the chapter 4, verse 19, the set of verses that follow. I want to pick up there again real quickly. He said, Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. This reveals something important about Abraham, but it also reveals something important about God. When God's going to do something great, He chooses the weak. He chooses, in this case, a 100-year-old man and his barren wife. And from that barren womb, from that old man, would come the people of Israel. Because as Paul would say later, God chooses what is weak to shame the strong. God chooses what's of no account in this world to bring to nothing those who think they're something, so that no man could boast. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot boast that we're going to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and we're going to save ourselves, or we're going to define for ourselves the meaning of life and carve out our own existence, and it's going to lead to ultimate fulfillment, life after death. It can't be done without God. And human beings, we want to boast. We want to build monuments to ourselves. We want to build great towers. We want to repeat the Tower of Babel experience over and over again. We're going to build with our power. We're going to reach the heavens, and we're going to save ourselves. But that's impossible. It's like trying to grab yourself by the ankles and lift yourself up. It's impossible. And so we see God's action is to demonstrate his glory and his power. But he comes to Abraham, and Abraham receives the promise, even though it looks to him like it's impossible. So in verse 20, as I ended yesterday, it says, "No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God." Now that's special. That's something. He did not distrust God, even though his mind was confounded, that God was promising something that was beyond anything Abraham could imagine. And the response is trust. Here's where we're touching on what faith is. Faith is not only believing with our mind, with our will, the revelation of what God gives us, that is, the unfolding of his self-revelation to us, who he is, what his commandments are, what his plan is, his purpose, and ultimately in revealing Jesus, his son, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son into the world, right? So God's full revelation comes in the person of Jesus. And so faith includes as well accepting, trusting, surrendering, abandoning ourselves. Abraham trusted so much, he became a nomad of faith. God called him out of a land where he was secure, where he had a clear identity, where he had built a life for himself, had all of his people around him. He had a certain amount of wealth and security and the rest of it. And God called him out of that and said, was sending him toward the land of promise. Abraham, after encountering God, had to go back to his own people who themselves had never encountered God the way Abraham did. And Abraham has to tell them, we're leaving everything we know, everything we've built, and we're heading to a new place, to a land of promise. And can you imagine the response? Like, where's this land of promise? Well, I don't really know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, I know that we're supposed to go and God's going to guide us. Well, who's the God you're talking about? And how do you know this is real? And you expect us to leave everything that's stable and reasonable, everything that we've built, and you're going to bank our whole existence on a promise? That's exactly what Abraham did. And that's why God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend. That's what Scripture tells us. Because he leaned on God in such a way that if God wasn't there, he'd fall flat on his face. He risked. He lived the kind of faith you spell R-I-S-K. He stepped out of what was familiar to him. He stepped out of his comfort zone. He stepped out of relying on his own understanding and his own resources. And he stepped into the promise. That's huge. It's huge in the eyes of God. It's the foundation of our faith. So no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. How do you grow strong in your faith? You say yes to God. You don't hold back. You keep one day at a time. You keep stepping into God's plan and purpose that he's revealed for you in Jesus Christ, that you trust him, that when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness and everything will be added unto you, that you believe it and you step into it and you begin to seek him first and you put him in the first place. You enthrone him in your life. You put him at the core and the center of your life. Because Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's a big piece of faith and what's an important thing to see. Abraham was convinced that God is able. How big is your God? How big is God? Is God able to save you? Is he able to pull you out of the difficult situations that you're facing in your life? I know from my own experience as a young man, growing up in a family that, a good family, but a family that was troubled and dysfunctional in some ways. A lot of dysfunction in a lot of different families. I think many of you who are listening know what I'm talking about. The particular dysfunction in our family was dealing with my father's alcoholism, which after he got out of World War II, he probably had, we didn't talk about it this way in those days, probably had PTSD. He had been a tank commander in Patton's Third Army in the Battle of the Bulge and had seen a lot, experienced a lot in war. He was a good man and wanted to be a good man and came home and built a business, but he dealt with a lot of the pain that was inside him by drinking, by numbing that pain. And it was a real problem. And over the years, tried getting him help, but nothing ever seemed to work. And there came a moment where it seemed like it was just too much, maybe too much for mom, maybe too much for everybody. Maybe mom and dad should even be separated at one point. And I remember the crisis time kind of came to a head when I was in late high school. And one of the fundamental things that was happening in our families, we were being brought to a place of really facing our powerlessness. We tried everything, nothing seemed to work. And what we needed was to have the Lord radically at the center of our lives. And through a series of circumstances, the Lord made that known to one of my oldest sisters. She was part of an active Bible study prayer group in her parish in a small town, and people seeking God, just ordinary people, each week coming together to support each other, but to seek God's word, to try to live under the authority of the Lord. Now, my other siblings, some of them were probably practicing the faith, but others were not. And I myself was kind of drifting away. I wasn't focused at all really on my faith. And my sister one night radically kind of called us to faith and say, you know, one of the things we need to understand is that there's a spiritual battle going on for Dad's life. There's a fight going on for his soul and on our whole family. As a spiritual head of the house is fighting this battle, we're all being affected by this. And she said, what we need is not for us to just drift away from the faith. What we need is more than ever in our lives to turn our hearts to Christ. To repent of indifference and lukewarmness, put Jesus at the center of our lives. Invite him to be the Lord of our life. Put Dad and our whole family at his feet, at the feet of the cross of Christ, and radically pursue him. And trust him that God is able. God is big enough. Is our God big enough? I don't think at that time our God was big enough. And I remember the kind of faith that came through my sister was contagious, where she was saying, Jesus Christ is alive. He changes lives. We need to believe it. We need to start radically pursuing him and living if this is real. And one by one, my siblings and I started doing that. And I don't have the time to tell the whole story. Maybe before the week's out, I could tell you the finish of it, kind of the details of where it all went. But really within less than a year from that moment, my dad went through treatment. He was sober and he lived 20 years of sobriety, the best years of his life. And my entire family came back to the faith, all seven of us kids, and then many of the grandkids and others. And so God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, friends. Lean into that. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.